P-Pitcher Philly, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from training camp. And everyone know that the Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champs, defending Super Bowl champs, and they are coming back in the NFC East. And this team lost some players, but people still feel they're as good as they ever been. But there are people around the league who believe that they may not be the team to beat in the NFC. Are the Washington Commanders that? Let's take a listen to Derek Carr and what he thinks.
In your second year, you see the field so much better. And a lot of those things that I was concerned with the free rushers kind of getting a shot on Jaden, I don't think they happen this year. I think Cliff gets better. I think Jaden gets better. And maybe some of those close games that they had to win, they won't even be close this year.
Really?
That's what I think. I think that that's how good this kid is. They're going to clean a lot of that stuff up.
Are you talking MVP consideration? That's the way you're sounding.
Well, he played like that at times last year. And so, I mean, now it's not like rookie of the year. It's can you be an MVP? I think with what they have around him, if they're able to just clean up and just make it a little bit easier for him, because he had to play hero ball. That's why I'm talking so glowingly about the kid, because he was making throws that you just shouldn't make. Honestly, like even a veteran quarterback would go into that meeting room the next day and tell Cliff Kingsbury, we're not doing this anymore. Jaden just covered it up. So hopefully he's gained a little bit of knowledge. Cliff's gained some knowledge and they can clean some of that stuff up and make it easier for him because he'll play even better.
I agree, dude.
See that's and Derek Carr played in the NFL. Many people say, well, didn't have the greatest career, but I will say this. Players understand how that step goes. And I know when people look at it, listen, people get so caught up in a negative aspect of what goes on in this world today. So when people start talking about that sophomore jinx, you get a lot of people jumping on that. But there is that aspect where you see things clearer in your second year. This kid saw stuff clear his first year. And he seems to be a different player. Nobody gives him credit for that. You know, and what I love so much about him, he doesn't seem to have changed at all when it comes to, like, what this game has given him and what he's become with it. He's not overwhelmed by the status of it. He still is working to become better at it. And that's very, very rare when it comes down to players in the league, especially at that position.
Totally agree, man. I don't get the, like, oh, Jaden will go backwards conversation. I think he's only going up, man.
Bro, we live in a hater population. People may rather talk negative about somebody. You know why? When someone does something well at a high level consistently, you know what that naturally does to you, even subconsciously? Puts pressure on you to try to become better. And how many people are really willing to dedicate their lives to become something and become better at something? You get what I'm saying? So Jaden Daniels makes people that may not even be a football player, not a quarterback. He makes them feel like, oh, I'm not doing it. He makes them feel bad about themselves. And instead of going out there and working a little harder and investing a little bit more in what you do, you'd rather knock him to try to make him want to get off of his horse. He's not. So hate all you want. You got to deal with that dude.
I just think the level of play we saw Jaden at last year, none of it was fluky. You know, like if you want to point to the Hail Mary or the doinked kick, like I can get that. But what we saw on the field, how they practice end-of-game situations, the fact that they hired this dude Dave Gardy away from the league to run their late game stuff.
Yeah.
I also think, like, let's operate in a world where we assume Terry gets re-signed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their offense should be way better. You're adding Debo. You add Tunsil. I think Connerly could play and will play right away. Like, your line should be better. Maybe you got another back out there that gives you a little bit more. Mm-hmm. There are questions, and as far as the NFC East is concerned, I'm not naive enough to think Philly's not still the team.
But you know what happens? What happened normally historically when you start looking at the numbers as well? A team that played that well don't play well the next year.
Sure.
A running back that had that level of success and touched the ball that many times doesn't ever play that well the next year.
Like Saquon, you're saying.
Are people jumping on that? So it's like
they lost a lot.
They lost people
lost
on top
OC.
Of it as well. So you wonder, will they be? And let's go with history again. Since I last played for the Eagles,
nobody
they haven't won consecutive back to backs. in the NFC East.
Nobody has.
So, no one.
There's
so,
some good Cowboys teams. The Giants won two Super Bowls in that stretch.
So that should
and
tell
didn't
you.
Win back-to-back NFC
that
East.
That should tell you that, look, things can be different next year. Now, I like people go, oh, yeah, they had some fluky wins last year. You know what? Flukes normally happen once. It don't happen week after week after week. So it's something about how they work, how they prepare, and their belief in number five that makes those guys feel they can close out game. I think I forgot who it was where they said it last year. They said,
Biotish.
When we get the game late, we know we can win because of five. That's a hell of a belief to have in your signal caller.
48 wrote that story about the luck matrix that the data scientist put together. And he asked Biotish, you know, do you believe in luck? And he said, I believe in five.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, but that aspect right there doesn't seem to happen. But people would give that a lot of credit and credence. I think then when you – we'll go back to 17. Hell, when games went down the stretch at the end, how many often did they go – how many times they went at 17 and he came through for you?
Yeah.
He has a clutch gene as well, dog.
For sure.
But I just think that, like, if people are thinking that the Commanders can be the team to beat, I don't look at that as like, oh, they crazy. I think they got a point.
I do, too. Philly's really good, but they lost a lot, lost the OC, lost some key pieces on that defense. They did bring Bond back. They did add more.
Yeah.
Philly's loaded, man, but, like, I don't think we need to undersell these dudes because Philly's loaded, and I don't think it's I don't know, man. If you look down the stretch, the Saints game went down to the wire. The offense was terrible in the second half. They couldn't run the ball at all. The O-line just got their ass kicked in that game.
Yep.
The Eagles game, five turnovers. I get that Hurts went down, but Washington turned that ball over five times.
But they were still there.
Right. They won the game. Falcons game, they win it late at home. Cowboys game, they win it late on the road. Big play for Terry there at the end. The Bucks playoff game, they win late on the road. Detroit, they thrashed. Now, Detroit was ravaged by injuries. That was a tough situation, right?
They beat Minnesota the week before.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah, I mean, like, is Washington more the team that went to Cincinnati and then thumped Arizona in Arizona? Or are they more the team that lost three in a row in the middle of the season or just somewhere in the middle of that? And I think – I don't know. I think they're pretty good. When people ask me, I don't know if they're going to win the East. It's such a – conference games – division games, rather, are so competitive and all these teams know each other so well. But would I put it past them? Hell no.
Every time I'm asked a question, I always say, as long as they got five, they have a chance.
Right.
And I'll say this. I know there's the thing about, well, you know, the D coordinators get film and they get to watch it, and next year they're going to be better. You know what Jaden Daniels does also? He gets better the next time he plays somebody. Okay?
They had tape on him for the second half of the year.
But what I'm saying, he's gotten better when he plays somebody. And when he makes a mistake, he don't normally make that mistake again. So maybe, just maybe, that virtual reality – it may be making him a little better and a little quicker than what those other people think, and they just can't keep up with it. So, I listen, man, every once in a while somebody comes along. I'm not saying he's that guy just yet, but he seems to have something in him that other people don't normally have, where he's – when you prepare for what he did, he's telling you need to prepare for what I'm about to do, because he's not staying the same person over and over again. He's exceeding and accelerating his game and getting better at it.
Totally agree. He has great ones. You have to be athletically gifted, of course. You also have to have drive. To quote the great Doc Walker, you got to have that dog in you. Jaden's got it all day. Mm-hmm. Just because he's smiling and easygoing, he wants – what did Kobe always say? I want to rip your heart out when I get on the court.
Growing up, we had a German Shepherd that would let you into the yard. He when you walk in the yard. When you got ready to come out the house, he wasn't letting you out the house until my dad gave him the sign that you were cool. And that dog is sitting there, and then all of a sudden my dad gave him that signal that you're all right, and then the dog playing with you again. That's Jade. He's the happiest-go-lucky guy you're going to see. But in competition, he's going for your jugular.
I never met your father. Sounds like an intimidating man.
Yes, he was.
Nobody go anywhere. At 1 o'clock, you'll hear from Quan Martin.